This week on the Young and Dumb podcast, we have Mikey from sunny California. Mikey lived the dream we all wish we could live by going pro at the age of 18. He's a gifted skateboarder with style like no other. So much style, in fact, that sponsors couldn't keep their hands off of him. After an illustrious 15-year career, he has now shifted focus to helping other skaters out with setting them up for success in life after the pros. So this week, we learn to skate with Mikey.
Sophisticated. He's all fun and play, especially when you get to talk to him. But don't be fooled. There's always a huge brain working on something in the background. Kinetic. Give him a cup of coffee in the morning, and off he goes. Energy radiates off of whenever you're around him. Adamant on his long-term vision. It might surprise you of what it is, but he is definitely headed in the right direction. Tailful. His long career in skateboarding has given him many stories to tell. You'll get to hear a few in this episode. Empowering. He has been able to transition from being a professional athlete to life after his sports career. Now, he's helping others do the same. This week, we learn how to skate with Mikey Taylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the 41st episode of the Young and Dumb podcast. This week, we have Mikey from the West Coast with us. Mikey, say what's up to the people.
What up, guys?
We are super glad to have you on board with us today. From what I understand, you're a pro skateboarder. Is that so?
Yes, I am. I am, yeah.
Yeah, it's dope. I mean, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're doing right now.
My name's Mikey Taylor. I'm out in LA. I've been a pro skateboarder for the last, it's been 15 years now. It's been a solid run for me.
Oh, wow.
Turned pro when I was 18. It was small back then. Like, it wasn't like it is now. Like, when I grew up skating, there was no like cool, like you weren't cool, right? We were like the outcasts in school. We had no friends. And then right when I graduated, it just kind of blew up. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, kids like me. And it's been a fun journey. I've been able to kind of travel the world. I've traveled the world actually a handful of times. It's been a blast, man. I've just been able to kind of live my dream in a sense and just love what I do.
That's dope. So going back with that, like you said, skateboarding wasn't really a big thing when you're growing up. So what was kind of like the backlash that you got for becoming a pro skateboarder, so to say, if any?
Well, you know what? It was more like my parents, to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I was a senior in high school when I started getting the opportunity to travel. And that's when I started getting pressure from my parents. Like, wait, you're going to do what? You're not going to go to school, you know? So it was more on them. I think they were concerned about me doing something that was going to make possibly my future a little bit harder, you know? And I think especially back then, dude, it's not like it is now. Like now or back then, there was really this message of you had to go to school to even get in the door to do anything decent with your life, right? It's not like it is now where like you can argue that you could receive the same benefits with or without school, or you can become a certain amount of success with or without, right? Back then, that wasn't even a conversation. Mm-hmm. So my parents were terrified, dude. They were like, I don't think this is, especially my mom. She was like, I don't think you should be doing this. You know? And to tell you the truth, I wasn't, like I never planned to be a pro skateboarder. It was one of those things that kind of just happened. And those first like 2 years, I graduated 18. So 19 and 20, I was just going to do it kind of for fun and like, you know, take the experience and kind of enjoy those 2 years. And I just figured I could always go back to school after. And then it was like those 2 years, it just blew up and it was a wild experience, you know?
That's great. So tell me a little bit of about the hidden things that go on while being a pro skater, like some of the benefits that people don't necessarily see, or some things that you were kind of not expecting along the way.
I would say the biggest benefit is that you get to, there's a part of it where you just get to have fun, right? Like, you know, there's this side where you know, I was able to skate every day. Like, that's a pretty nice gig. And I would say that's probably the biggest benefit is that, you know, we get to be kids for a lot longer than maybe most. I think what I wasn't prepared for, what a lot of people aren't prepared for, is how much pressure comes along with that, right? It's once you get into a professional career, it changes the dynamic between your passion for what you're doing, right? It just becomes a different thing. And a lot of people actually get hung up on that and end up not enjoying what they're doing, right? It's like this, you see it so often where like everyone to put at 25 and it's either like, I hate this shit, I'm done, or you figured out like a new love for what it's become, you know? Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's like, dude, when you first start skating, it's me, it's myself. And I'm just like doing tricks, right? But when you get sponsored, all of a sudden you have people that start, you start feeling the pressure of people expecting you to do certain things. And it can very easily, I think, become difficult for people to do, you know?
Especially at such a young age, right? You said you started when you were professionally 18.
Yeah. That's another thing, man. It's not like I'm, you know, it's not like you're 35 going like, dude, at 18, you're still trying to figure it out, man. It's like, you're still so heavily influenced by what's around you. Your peers have such a big play into it. It's hard to take criticism. I mean, dude, I was like 23, 24 when, and this was before like the internet or social media started popping off, right? The internet was here, but this is when like you didn't really see people's comments. You know, and then like 24, 25, and all of a sudden it's like a whole list of like, you fucking suck. You're just like,
you know. What's going on, right?
Yeah, you have to like really get used to that one, you know, and I think that can break some people.
That's crazy. And it's like, I feel like with skateboarding, BMX, kind of that, if you want to call it like extreme sport category of people, they start off really young for the most part, right?
Yeah, especially now. Like I started skating when I was like 13, 14, which is late. Mm-hmm. Like most kids start like pretty much from birth. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I've watched some X Games events and I've seen kids like 13, 14 competing against guys twice their age, which is incredible. So tell me a little bit about some of the pressures of having some sponsors at such a young age, because I mean, there's a lot coming in your way. You're dealing with some pretty big brands at such a young age. What was that like?
You know what? It started off like I thought it was the coolest thing ever, right? And I was like, I get stuff and I get paid, and you know, but you quickly hit a point of like having to deliver. Only being able to wear, like you kind of start feeling like you're a walking billboard, right? Like I can only wear this, especially when trends change, right? That's where it started getting different. Where it's like you ride for a company, it might not be like the coolest company. Something's in trend. Everyone's kind of doing some new shit. And you're like, you know, I want to do that over there, you know? But I mean, dude, probably the hardest, I think probably the biggest pressure is like having to deliver certain, you know, having to do a video part at a certain time, having to put out photos, and then, you know, we're susceptible to getting hurt. So a lot of times we have to do things when it doesn't really work or feel good, mm-hmm. Which I think that's kind of a tough part of it, you know?
That's awesome. But like,
I think the worst part though is if you get a sponsor that's like not rad, you know, like some people get sponsors that need to make money, you know what I'm saying? And then like, you're like representing some whack shit. And then you're like, this kind of is like, you know, am I doing this for the wrong reason?
Yeah. Have you ever been in that situation? You don't have to mention the name of it. Where?
Of course I've been in that situation. We all have. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's, yeah, of course, you know, it got a little easier as I got older. But yeah. That's I mean, they haven't been super bad. Like I've never done like an energy drink. Like it's never gone that low, but I've had some, I've had some whack ones, man, for sure.
So what would be your advice to anyone who's young, who really doesn't have much leverage in that conversation, but is looking to become pro or like provide some sort of income to prove to their parents maybe that this could be something viable in the future?
You know what? Dude, it's real different now, actually. Like, really? You almost don't even need to like show the money. Like, you can almost show a following now. It's really weird, right? Like, if you're a kid and you can build up a big enough following, you can monetize it, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's a little bit more. Like, dude, when I tried to get sponsored, I had to go through a magazine and try and find an address and send VHS. You guys know what VHS?
Yeah.
So I had to send like videos to companies and hope somebody saw me. But now it's like, dude, you can do everything from your phone, man. It's I think kids have a little bit more. I think it's a little bit easier in a sense to be seen and kind of show their parents, like, look, mom, I've got 50,000 followers here. Like, people think I'm doing something good, you know? It's a little bit more competitive, but I think it's easier to justify to your parents, you know?
And I feel like we're in a time where doing things differently from the norm is a little more acceptable as long as that bottom line is affected, if you know what I mean. As long as there's people coming in and there's money coming in, that these out-of-the-box kind of methods of progressing in your professions is more acceptable.
Yeah, dude. I think that's the it's the time we're in, right? It's it's just different, man. It's I think it's exciting, but yeah, my parents are, your parents are a little younger than my parents. How old are you guys? Early 20s?
Yeah.
So I got like 10 years on you. So my, I think your parents are probably like way more hip to it than my parents were. You know, I mean, dude, this is wild out here. Like,
I wouldn't even say that.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that.
Like, I wouldn't even say that.
Still the same generation.
Yeah, me. Yeah, okay. Okay.
I think when we parents, then yeah, that mindset.
Yeah. Sure, but dude, can you guys imagine what can you imagine what we're gonna be going through 20? You guys are gonna go through 10, 15 years from now, or even 25 when our kids are like old enough to like. You know,
I can't imagine.
Yeah, I don't want to go to school. It's gonna be, dude, who knows if there's even gonna be school you're going to? Who knows? You know?
Yeah, all it's crazy.
Strap on some headphones in the morning. Go to school for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, totally.
That would blow my mind. I don't know if I'm ready for that. I mean, I'm all for VR, but like VR school, that's a bit much.
Yeah, but dude, we're gonna be like the old guys going, "What is this shit?" And everybody going, "Yeah, you guys are so old. You guys are black and white." You know.
We're gonna be like, back in our day, we had the smartphone.
Yeah.
But yeah, so with that, what is kind of your outlook for the future of skateboarding? So I know traditional sports are starting to get a little disrupted with esports, mm-hmm. in the way that NBA is starting to possibly draft their own like esports teams. Mm-hmm. You see something similar coming into skateboarding?
You know what? It's a little different for skateboarding because it's like skating's not that much based around contest. Mm-hmm. It's more like about like kind of video parts and it's really more about culture in a sense. Right. So I don't know if something like that would necessarily be relevant in skateboarding, but dude, it's changing. It's absolutely changing. Like as far as like the future goes, it's hard to say, man. It's like, I don't know if pro skateboarders are going to remain relevant. Like now that you have like influencers in a sense, companies are really just looking at like who can get my product out there or what followers are connecting with that person, where if they wear my product, it's going to, you know, turn into a sale is really why we have sponsors. Right. Mm-hmm. And so if that's happening without us, I don't know if you'll still need pro skateboarders. I mean, we're already seeing it where like, you know, I had a, like, dude, I was pro 15 years. That's a very long or successful career as a pro skateboarder, right? Mm-hmm. Dude, it's getting smaller and smaller, man. It's like the contracts the companies are giving are not as long. It's I don't know, man. It's wild. I'm like, I'm glad I'm on the tail end of it. Not trying to knock down the door, you know?
So would you say it's becoming more or less pro skateboarder and more pro like influencer then? Like trying to build as much following as you can, producing the best content?
100%. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Especially like that it's not really based on contests, right? It's like you're starting to see a lot of pros. Like you do still have some that are so gnarly, but there's a lot of kids who are like really relevant that like aren't necessarily pushing the boundaries of of like the technical side of skating, right? It's like just like they're good skateboarders, don't get me wrong, but they're not like great by any means, you know. They're just like
cool. They know how the internet works,
but they influence, it's the influence, right? They have they're reaching kids with either style or you know, and it's having a bigger impact than someone who, you know, is flying off shit doing crazy stuff.
So the pool for contracts has gotten smaller. Has the pool for skateboarders gotten smaller as well? Like, do you see less people getting into skateboarding and getting into the pros, things like that?
You're just seeing less. You're seeing less people make significant money.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, it's like kind of like what social media has done, or even like e-com. It's like it's giving even small brands the platform to be able to survive, right? So you're seeing like this influx of small brands that are bringing on new pro skateboarders, and they're able to kind of survive more so than they were 5-6 years ago. So it's just a different landscape, man. It's there's a lot more pros. They're just, it's like the big deals are kind of far and few between, you know. There's a massive scale of like what the average skater makes and what the 10% make, you know.
Really?
Wow.
So that's interesting. So moving from that, we've gone through your professional skateboarding life, but now you've transitioned to something interesting as well. Can you let people in on what you're doing currently?
Yeah. So right now, currently what I'm doing is I started a real estate fund I started working on it last March. And really what it stemmed from was I got a call from my sponsor. It goes further than that. I'm going to walk you guys through it just real quick. We went back to a short career, right? Skateboarders have a, like, I'm trying to tell my mom to be pro skateboarder. She's looking at me like I'm crazy, right? But one thing I did know is that I didn't have a long run at this, right? Even with all the variables, I didn't get hurt. I didn't lose sponsors. If I made it to 34, that was really kind of a home run, right? So when I turned 18, it was like, okay, I'm going to do this. 19, I started making money, and it became, how do I get through this transition and be okay, right? And I really got very strategic with how I not only lived my life, but how my money was making money, right? Like, I looked at this as being possibly the most money I make. And after that, I could be in a situation of essentially sizing down, right? Like, because you can do a trick on a skateboard doesn't really translate into you can go move into another career and make the same amount of money. This is what I was thinking at 20, right? Mm-hmm. So I started investing in real estate. 20 was the first time I started investing in storage units.
Wow.
And had invested throughout the last 15 years. It's been about 12 projects, right? And then along the way, I had started a handful of about three businesses. And this was kind of my plan, I thought, was like going accordingly. And this was last year. I got a call from my shoe and clothing sponsor where all my income was coming. and I had a 2-year deal with them, and they called me and basically found like a termination clause and ended my deal in like 30 days. Right.
Oh, wow.
So I went from like making a pro salary to $0 overnight. Right.
Yeah.
And this was last March. So I got a call from a buddy, another pro skateboarder. And he was like, dude, what's it like? Right. We're all so scared of this transition happening. Like, what's it like over there? Right. And I was like, look, like, it's tough. Like, emotionally, it's very hard. Like, that we put so much into this. There's like, dude, it's an ego blow. It's your identity's wrapped around it, you know? And I was like, look, it's hard. It's hard emotionally. It's maybe one of the hardest things I've done, but like, I'm getting through it, you know? And he's like, well, are you making any money? I'm like, no. Like, are you okay? Like, I got two kids in life, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I'm actually okay, you know? And he was like, really? And I was kind of telling him kind of what I had done up until this point. And he was like, dude, you're like the exception to the rule. Like, you know, like, how'd you do that? And it was like, I just kind of talked to him. I hung up the phone and immediately felt like this. I don't know if guilt is the right word, but like some type of pain. Like, you know, it was like I started feeling like, okay, most of my friends and my peers are not going to go through this experience like I did, which was already hard, but a lot of them are going to have a lot more mixed into it, right? With the what do I do now? How am I going to make money? A lot of these guys don't prepare at all for this, right? So I wanted to create something to kind of help these guys get through this transition instead of just telling them, hey, you need to do this. At least I could go, guys, here's this. Let's start building your passive income, right? Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was real estate that was really the biggest vehicle to create that. So that's kind of why I created this fund and wanted to start helping these guys build passive income instead of just having a surplus of cash sit in an account and just look at the number, you know.
Zero interest on it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what we're doing now. It's we're focusing on apartments. We rehab apartments. So we buy in areas that are kind of going through a transition. We buy kind of a rundown building or a classy property and we renovate it. And it's really focused on like us. We design it on more of a like in trend and kind of for, I hate saying millennials, but it's for my generation, you know. Mm-hmm. So well, that's what I'm doing now. Yeah.
That's really great to hear. I mean, I feel like a lot of these guys would be really appreciative that there's someone, you know, looking out for them. Cause I feel like when that contract breaks, everyone that was looking out for you, it's kind of like left you behind essentially, financially.
Yeah, dude.
So it's hard. But, is that, I guess that, that dark end, I should say, something that it's always looked at, for pro skateboarders? Is that always in there at the end of the tunnel, or is there usually a brighter light that they look towards?
Usually you see a scenario where, I mean, dude, you know, there's a lot of times you look at a pro skateboarder who basically loses sponsors and then he's working at a warehouse. Very, very common, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for me, it was always like, dude, you can come into this space and make such a big impact, right? You could be like a great, and then essentially 5 years later, not saying there's anything wrong with working in a warehouse. It was just like you're gonna reach that many people, and then all of a sudden, no one knows, or you're not affecting anyone, or it's like, to me, it just seemed like an injustice almost, you know, and knowing that like skaters are like, dude, a lot of the guys don't come from much, right? It's like, you don't have to come from a nice area to be able to get a skateboard and ride it, right? A lot of these guys come from broken homes. It's like I'm going to make something happen. A lot of like basketball, right? And so you give these guys, you know, they start making money, but a lot of them don't have the, like, dude, they're good at skateboarding. They're creative. That doesn't mean that they're able to kind of secure their future or know how to invest or know how to start a company. Like, I felt very fortunate in that aspect, but I recognize that this is not normal, you know? So it's like, I don't want them to go through that pain. I love these guys, you know? So yeah. It's like, I really wanted to try and help break this, I don't want to say curse, but the problem that we face, and a lot of athletes face it, even in like pro sports. It's like they're making more than us, but the bankruptcy rate or
it's crazy,
dude. It's like it's almost 80%, right? These dudes are going broke, making over 10. You know, they're making significant money going broke. So it's like if they're feeling it, we're definitely feeling it. You know.
Well. So we're going to take all of your journey so far through the early stages of your skateboard career now to your giving back side. And we're going to turn that into a loading bar. So on your loading bar, where do you feel like you are on your journey?
Oh, man, what a good question. Thank you for letting me drink coffee again.
Just enough time.
Man, on my loading bar, I would say I'm a quarter of the way there.
Quarter of the way there. Yeah. What does 100% look like? Or 99.9? Because no one ever reaches 100.
So I have this like, it's not even just my wife and I want to kind of, we have this like, I don't know if it's dream or vision or whatever you want to call it, but we want to do something to change the foster system actually. And it really started on my wife. My wife's always been like, had this like heavy on her heart, like wanting to like help the foster system. And I think it's like, it's so bad. So like, you know, we have this like kind of idea to like create this, like, I don't want to say like X-Men or like this, like Xavier school, but like, I kind of have this like dream to like have this place that we can basically take a foster kid that no one wants and basically bring in and create these great people out of it, right? Whether it's in business, community, like I want to try and take a broken person and create them into these special leaders of the community. And that is far out and we're not there yet. But the problem is there's so much, a lot of what I'm doing is to get to that point to where like we can do this and have no, I don't want any outside influence on how to do this. I don't want anybody to be able to kind of control what we want to build, because it can take, I think it can take a very negative effect on possibly these kids. So there's a, I think that's, dude, I don't know if I'm 10 years out, 15 years out, 20 years out, but I know I'm not there yet, you know?
That's an awesome.
So maybe that's closer to fully loaded is when, if we head down that path and we start seeing these kids like actually change people, you know?
It's amazing, man. I love it. So now we get to move into our real deep thinking question. So that was just the beginning.
Oh, great. Here we go. We're getting real.
So you've had a couple more sips of coffee. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right. So number one, let's imagine it's your last day on earth, like 100 years from now, because we're going to live to where like 130. And everything gets destroyed. So your skateboarding career, your social media, everything is gone. But you get three things that you want to be remembered for. What are those three things?
Damn, you really did it. things that I would be remembered for. I would say that I'd want to be remembered as, I don't know if this is going to be one or two, but I'd want to be remembered as a good husband and good father. Could that be one or two?
That's one.
Okay. I would want to, like, I want to make a difference. I want to make an impact. I know everybody says that, but like, I want to, I still want to and hope to be remembered as somebody who did something that was able to leave this world a better place than I came into it as. So I don't know, some type of what would I even categorize that as? You know, doing something good. I don't know. And I think like just being like I always wanted to be I really wanted to be very open and honest and have people be able to not only resonate with myself, but like I never wanted to be like I guess selfless. I would really want to be selfless and have no ego and try to like have people relate to things I'm going through so that they could maybe it can help them. I don't, it all comes back to like, I don't know, I want to like help people, I guess.
Be a good person.
Yeah.
I love it.
You know?
Okay, dope. All right, second question. What does being young and dumb mean to you?
Learning, making mistakes and learning from them, I think.
Okay. Love it. I love it. Have you ever been called young and dumb before?
Of course. I've been called worse things than young and dumb. But I mean, dude, to me, like, going through that and like being young and being dumb, and it's, even though your guy's dumb is different than what I'm saying, dude, there's so much growth that comes along that, man. It's like you're talking about things that you're gonna learn that will change who you are and the way you operate, you know. Mm-hmm. So I mean, dude, that is as wild as I feel like the young and dumb time I'm talking about was, it was, I mean, dude, I don't think I've ever learned as much through that, you know. It's those experiences. It's like that's the shit they can't teach you in school. That's what you actually go through and kind of become through, you know?
Exactly.
That's awesome. All right. So before we ask our last question, if people want to keep up with you, what you're doing right now, where can they find you on either social media or anything?
The best place is probably, I think Instagram is the one that I use the most.
Okay.
My Instagram's just my name, Mikey Taylor. And then everything else I do will be link to that, or you'll be able to find anything else from my Instagram.
Down on Instagram, everyone.
Yep.
All right. So last question. What is a question that you wish that we asked you?
Oh, man. Um, damn, guys, I'm not used to being the interviewer.
Hey, you're getting on to the keynote speaking wave thing, so you gotta.
Yeah, I just did. Somebody just had to come out and speak at this conference. This is the first time I ever did it.
You prepared. All right,
so a question that I wish you guys would have asked me, and then are you going to in turn ask me to answer it? Damn, that's a good question. I might be saying for a while.
This is the funniest question that I've ever asked in an interview, because it gets literally that same response from the person who's interviewing me
every time.
Let's say for a job or something, it's hilarious.
People ask you for a job, what you...
No. Like when I'm being interviewed for like an internship or something, because I'm still in school, I'll ask this question as my last question. Blank out.
Blows minds every time.
Yeah, what is a good answer? You guys got me, man. I'm stumped. I don't know.
Honestly, it's just like tailored to whoever it asks. I mean, there's some people who've come back like really quickly. But then they'll retract and be like, okay, maybe no, we talked about that. And you're like, I don't really have anything. I've gotten that before.
Yeah. I don't know, boys. I feel like you did it, man. I think you guys did a good enough job to where I don't have anything for you.
No, that's great. I mean, that's a nice little pat on our backs. Yeah. We'll definitely take that. Mikey, well, a big thanks from the Young and Dumb and Get Your Grind Up community for getting up on at 7 a.m. on the West Coast to come do this this podcast with us. So again, big thank you. Glad to have you on board.
Thanks for having me, guys.
So welcome to the community. And for those listening out there, you can find Mikey's Dumb profile up on our website and our social media pages on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We'll be back next week on Tuesday with another incredible episode of Young and Dumb. Always remember, we are all young and dumb.
And never forget, get your grind up.
See you guys next week. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into our podcast.
Check out our website, getyourgrindup.com, for every dumb profile and even more content.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at getyourgrindup.
And share a name as we spread your journeys.
What doesn't kill you makes you dumber.
Thank you guys. Peace.